How to double your case files without spending another cent on marketing with Jan Roos, episode 427. Are you ready to make your law firm a profit-generating machine that will free up your time and skyrocket your impact? With more than two decades of business growth experience and having proven that you can be successful while prioritizing your family and your impact, introducing the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, the creator of the Firm Differentiator 10X Effect, Moshe Amsel. Well, hello and welcome to a special edition of the Profit with Law podcast. We're going to be taking a break from our usual programming of interview style sessions, and we are going to be doing some replays of Law Firm Growth Summit sessions from one of our past Law Firm Growth Summits. So if you're not familiar with the Law Firm Growth Summit, in 2019, I started a virtual conference called the Law Firm Growth Summit. We had three events so far, 2019, 2021, 2022, and now we are going to be hosting our next one, 2024, May 21st to May 23rd. You can find out more information at lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Registration is absolutely free. We bring together dozens of industry leaders and experts. We're actually going to be doing a bonus 2 days after the live event. So 3 days live event and then another 2 days bonus of like pre-recorded sessions. So combined between our live talent and the pre-recorded sessions being released after that, we're going to have well over 50 speakers throughout the summit and so many important topics about regarding marketing, sales, conversions, leadership, team development, financials, you name it. If it has to do with growing your firm, it's going to be covered. We have our information is broken up into tracks. So we have a track that's specifically for the zero to 250K revenue firms, the ones who are just starting up, trying to just get to maximum solo capacity. Then we have a track for those going from solo to 2 million. And then we have a track for those 2 million plus law firm owners. So there's content for everybody at this event. I definitely encourage you to check it out at lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Today, we're going to replay a episode or a session from our 2019 event by Jan Roos, and he spoke about how to double your case files without spending another cent on marketing. It was a great session, very well attended, and a lot of people were raving about it. So we wanted to just give you a sampling of something that you might expect to hear or experience at the Law Firm Growth Summit. So here it is. From our archives of our 2019 Law Firm Growth Summit, here's Jan Roos's session. The session title for this session is How to Double Your Case Files Without Spending Another Cent on Marketing. And my guest today is Jan Roos. And Jan is the author of a book that I have read, and it's The Legal Marketing Fast Lane. He owns a company, Case Fuel, that's a marketing agency or a sales acceleration company. I'll let him fill that in if there's anything I misspoke about. But he's helped law firms generate millions in revenue through various things, pay-per-click advertising and things like that. And he's got some exciting stuff to share with us today, because ultimately the efforts of marketing are going to bring leads to your door. What happens when those leads hit your door is a big fat question mark for many law firm owners. And I invited him here today to share this with you, because I think that there's a lot of work to be done in that arena. So Jan, welcome to the summit. Thank you so much for joining us. And why don't you jump right in and talk to us about what the dilemma is, what the problem is, and how do we fix it?
All right. Awesome. Well, yeah, I'll jump right into it. So, you know, I think a lot of people talk about marketing. A lot of people that do what I do talk about marketing. A lot of big firms talk about marketing, but it's not always the solution that people think it's going to be. And, you know, I kind of like this metaphor. I was reading National Geographic when I was a kid, and it was this thing about the Wright brothers versus the competitions, who's this guy, Samuel Pierpont Langley. So this is a classic, you know, David and Goliath story. Langley had access, you know, tons of government money, and he had basically all the resources necessary to get a plane off the ground. But no one really knows that guy's name today because he's failed. The reason he failed was that he was kind of focused on using this money to get more and more engines onto his plane. And in the end, the thing never took up off the ground. The Wright brothers, to contrast, they're just, you know, doing the completely opposite approach. A really tiny engine, but it was super efficient, and the ratio of power to lift got something that was off the ground, and that's why they went down in history. So, you know, kind of taking this out to the bigger picture, like I feel like a lot of the law firms think about things the same way Samuel Pierpont Langley thought about things. It's like, you know, you want to throw money at a problem, but at the end of the day, you know, there's return, but there's also lift is like a return on investment. So, you know, the more lean and the more effective you can make your marketing, you know, you might not need a bigger engine. You might just need a more efficient process. And really, intake is the biggest lever we found to do that.
Okay, so when you say intake is the biggest lever we found to increase ROI, tell us more about that. What do you mean by intake, and how does that work? How does that change the ROI versus what is being traditionally done today?
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, I feel like most people take this kind of engine approach to things. I would classify intake as the prop. So I really categorize this, and this is, you know, speaking in most broader industries, you've got marketing is what creates a lead, and sales is what they refer to in most other industries is what takes a lead to an actual closed business. But, you know, the legal profession, we call it intake. So that would include what's actually happening after a lead comes in, who's calling that person, the process in most firms of getting an appointment booked, following up to make sure that appointment holds. The actual process of what happens at appointment, and actually anything that happens to get a case file signed. So that's how I would define intake. And, you know, the differences that you can make there, and I'll speak candidly as somebody who does this for a living, a great marketer versus a terrible marketer might get you a, you know, 25% better cost per lead, but there's literally, you know, multiples, 2-3 times more business can be closed by fixing these intake processes, which is where I think the opportunity is.
So talk to us about your experiences with your own clients and what led you to realize this and to go down this road.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone kind of talks about the bona fides, you know, we've generated all this money and blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, the reality is this presentation is about what I would have done to get the people who didn't make it. So, you know, we do have people who have made millions of dollars with our programs. But the thing that's unfortunate is like larger firms. And then you're like, what the heck happened to these guys who might have tried marketing out for a couple of months, end up having to bail at the end of it. And then what really went wrong? What can we do to help those people? Because a lot of times they help more than the bigger guys. So, you know, basically we always do these things. So, you know, we record every single lead that comes into the firm. And we have the ability to say, because these calls are recorded, you know, what happened? You know, we look into it. So, you know, when we're asking feedback, you know, why you guys not want to continue, people would say, hey, you know, like the leads are bad. So we ended up starting to check the recordings. So for the most part, when we ended up checking the recordings, whenever people picked up the phone, things went well. So, you know, you can look at a list of 50 or 100 leads you've generated for a client or your firm. And, you know, if you see things that are 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 25 minutes, yeah, that's probably a real call that somebody picked up, talked about a legal issue. And then, you know, that's something that actually happened. But for the most part, when we looked into people, we'd see things that are a lot shorter. So it'd be 40 seconds, a minute, 30 seconds. So for the most part, it was either short calls or no answer. And the thing is that we didn't really have the ability to track outbound at the time. So we didn't really know what would happen on these, you know, essentially a 30-40 second call is usually hitting a voicemail and either leaving a voicemail or just hanging up and calling the next person on the list. So we didn't really know what was happening after that point. And it was the same thing for anything that came in through email or chat or whatever, right? But the interesting thing is that the people that ended up staying on and making money never complained about bad leads. And in some instances, this is where people are getting far worse cost per lead numbers than people who are, you know, complaining more about it. So, and this, we'll kind of get back to that in like a little minute. But, yeah, so basically we have this paradox where it's like, you know, there's people who are talking about bad leads and there's people who are not talking about bad leads that are getting the same leads. So like what's really happening here? So this next kind of, you know, this isn't happening about a year ago. So we ended up having a client of ours that brought in an intake consultant. And this is a guy named Jason. He was running marketing for a nationwide bankruptcy practice. and you know, had a lot of experience with this stuff. He'd done tens of thousands of intakes. So basically, we ended up getting a bankruptcy campaign live, one that candidly had failed in pretty short order last time we'd done it a few years back. And the person ended up signing client on the second day, and he ended up closing a couple of Chapter 7 retainers that week. And funny enough, it was like, these are actually like slightly worse numbers than the person that had flamed out before. So all of a sudden, this guy's closing cases like gangbusters, and we're like, okay, well, what the heck is happening here? And, you know, when we really dug into it, this was somebody who had the processes, the scripts, all the tools that were being used at a nationwide firm, because that's what the consultant provided. So it was basically just add water at that point. So basically had the scripts. When people would call, he'd pick up the phone, he'd prioritize it. And then those clients are getting called. But if he didn't pick up the phone, because no one can be perfect, or if somebody came in with an email, another tool that these guys provided was a follow-up sequence. So immediately when this was happening, they were getting, you know, 15 calls, voicemails, SMS, you know, for a couple of days afterwards. So basically plan A, you pick up the phone, you got your script, you close them. Plan B, you don't pick up the phone, you know, email comes in, whatever. And then, you know, you end up getting the phone to be ringing again because you have this follow-up sequence. So basically, you know, fast forward a little bit, we ended up starting to get referrals from this intake process. And then basically anyone that we had that we referred to with the process in place was making money and doubling their budget every couple months. So I'm starting to think at this point, it's not really the lead gen that changed that much. It was really the follow-up. And then that was really, and noticing that a lot of these firms that were working with these services didn't really, they were, some of these guys are solos. So it's not the size of the firm, it's the process that they're using.
You know what I love about this story and just to this point where we're up to, because obviously we haven't really dug into what was working in the solution other than the fact that it was the follow-up, is that you are showing up as a professional, as a thought leader, who and you're here on a massive stage, and you're saying, look, this, you know, I'm sharing with you what's working for us, and we got here by accident. And I love that, because so many people think that we have to have all the answers, that we need to know everything before we can move forward, before we can take that next step. And the answer is no, you don't. But the key is that you keep moving forward, you keep trying, and you pay attention to what's working and try to understand what is and what isn't working and why. So I love that you were able to recognize that this was happening and say, hey, maybe we have something here. Let's see if we can processize it and make it something that we can then teach other people how to do. So well done.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the point too. And again, I don't want to take too much credit for it, because it was kind of a nice little serendipity that happened. But again, you know, for these guys, they were one person away, one strategy away from making a huge difference in their practice. And that can be anyone out there. So you know, it's kind of a couple different things we want to share, some strategies that we've found that have worked since then. We've implemented these across, you know, clients in a couple different verticals, all client facing, of course, but this is sort of the thing. And I kind of want to categorize it, because, like, you know, I don't want people to tune out at this point and say, like, oh, okay, cool, got it. Like, I have to do follow up. Because it's like, for the most part, you know, and kudos to anyone who signed up for the sales track, because that kind of betrays more of a self-awareness than a lot of the attorneys that we work with have. But again, it's like, I want to stress that follow up sucks. It's like, you know, no one wants to do it. It's mentally draining. You've got like the perception every time you pick up the phone or, you know, write an email, it's just, you know, this is bugging someone. That's what you think. But, you know, basically we have the ability to completely automate this with a couple different solutions. Of course, you can do it yourself, and we've got scripts you can use. But, you know, let's kind of take a look at what happens when it doesn't. So I'm actually, this is kind of an interesting hybrid. I'm sure some of you guys might have heard of the Clio report from the Clio conference that was probably just over a month and a half ago when this ended up going live. But we actually ended up changing this with some real numbers that we had from our entire bankruptcy practice, which is dozens of firms. So basically what we're looking at here is, you know, you'll see about, you know, just under 50% of the leads that we have coming in are coming in through phone. The remainder, about 25 are coming through form, 20 are about coming through through chat. And then we also have a small amount coming through SMS. So one thing we want to take away here is that 49% of people aren't even using the phone. So, you know, this is the thing. Even if you have that all-star closer script in place, you're missing half of the people right off the bat. Now let's see what kind of happens to those other 51% of people. So, and this is another stat that we have from the Clio conference. So So we've got 39% of calls went to voicemail, and 57%, this is a relevant stat, 50% of law firms, and they surveyed, I think, 500 or 1,000 or something like that, didn't return a call within 72 hours.
Yeah, I believe it was 2,000 firms.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't a tiny cross section. I don't want to point fingers at anyone in the audience, but, you know, chances are if you like the numbers, that's what it's going to look like. So, you know, basically all these are going, so we got that. So the calls are, so of the 49 and changes that's going to, that's a phone call, 39% of those are going to voicemail. So basically between that and the channels that aren't actually, you know, somebody picking up the phone, you're not talking to, I did the math on this, but 69% of the people who want to talk to your law firm, who want to hire you, are not going to be people that you're speaking to on the phone. So, you know, this is a thing. And then, you know, from all the numbers that we're seeing, these people aren't getting attended to. So, you know, what do you think is happening here if somebody ends up, you know, getting that kind of response?
And I want to jump in here real quick and just give, I want to point out two things. First of all, this statistic shared at the Clio conference and this idea of the phone not getting answered has been repeating itself over and over again in a number of our sessions. You know, right now we're on day two, but I know that some of our future sessions and then, you know, days 3, 4, and 5 of the summit are going to cover it as well. And it's just a mind boggling thing to think that we're spending all of this time, money, effort on trying to bring in leads and we're not even answering the phone. One of the sponsors of our summit is Smith AI. Smith AI does legal reception services, and they are able to close that initial gap as far as the phone getting answered. They also do manage your chat on your website for you. So we'd encourage you to go to the sponsors page and check them out, where they have a really, really sweet deal for our attendees, and you can essentially get started with them for nothing. So definitely worth implementing that, even if it's in conjunction with any other things you're learning here at the conference. But I just wanted to point that out and to give them an extra plug here, because, you know, the solution's easy. You know, you can get your phone answered. It doesn't mean hiring another person. It doesn't mean, you know, having a full phone, call desk, call center, you know, staffed. You know, this particular piece can be answered. Now, obviously, here we're talking about all the points, not just the phone being answered, but I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Hey, no worries. Yeah, awesome. So, I mean, basically, and then this thing, you know, if regardless of what the situation is, you know, we're doing the numbers here. That's 69%. So, you know, at most you're working on a third of the leads that you think you're working on. And if you think about people just breaking even on an ROI, imagine what that would be if you literally tripled the amount of people you're talking to. It's just simple math here. So, and this is kind of another thing too. So there's kind of two ways to frame this, and, you know, not to, you know, wrap somebody on the wrist with a ruler and say, shame on you. It's also really an opportunity, because the other people who are doing this are the competition in your market. So, you know, it's kind of like in basketball, you know, if somebody ends up dropping the ball, you can steal it. So, you know, there's a guy I love, one of my favorite people in intake, a guy named Gary Falkowitz. So he has this thing called the blackjack assumption, which is people are going to call one firm before you, and they're going to call one firm after you. So the thing is that you're all three of those firms. You know, sometimes you're the first person they call, sometimes you're the person they're calling right now, and sometimes you're the firm they're calling after. But, you know, if you can get this stuff figured out, and pulling up another stat from the Clio conference, 42% of people say they're going to stop shopping if they like the first lawyer that they speak with. And, you know, a big part of that battle, you know, hopefully you're a likable person, you know, put effort into that. But, you know, if you can get the follow-up part in place, even if it's a text message when the phone comes in or a voicemail, you name it, you know, you're going to go some way to being proactive and stopping them from continuing to talk to people. I mean, people just feel guilty. It's like, you don't want to lead 12 people on at the same time, you know, no matter how much of a price sharper you are.
So I want to jump in real quick, and because you said, you know, hopefully you're personable. Look, If you're the law firm owner and you have trouble with these phone conversations and you don't think that you are qualified to be able to be that first touch point and get them to like you, you don't have to be that first touch point. You can have an intake person. You can have a salesperson that's doing that. Now, the first thing you're going to say is, well, I can't have a salesperson giving legal advice. Well, we're not asking you to do that. Charge for your consultation and have them sell the consult. Once somebody exchanges money with you, they become a client, the deal is made. It's done. It's essentially done. You just need to follow through and carry it the rest of the way. Now have the consultation, apply the consultation fee to whatever the retainer fee is or whatever, however you structure your services, apply it to that first invoice so that they have an even more reasons to stay and stick with you as long as they liked you. But take yourself out of the mix. You don't have to do everything. And that's the bigger firms that the attorneys are not making the sale. The attorneys are getting on the phone when it's time for the client to get going. So, there's definitely ways to structure this to remove yourself from the equation if you're not the right person.
Yeah, and a quick parenthetical, if anyone's saying, everyone in my market does free consultations, there's no way I could charge from this. The first time this happened, I'll give you another accidental story of something we stumbled into. I pushed back on this so much, but this guy was a high net worth specialist in divorce law, in Texas, in Dallas Fort Worth area. He charged $200 for a consult. There's probably 100 people that run family law firms within a 10 mile radius of his office. But he's got good process. He sells the damn thing, and he's actually able to get higher average retainers because of it. And that's the thing. It's a good little filter.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a matter of having a good process. I think that when you charge for a consultation, you are putting value on your time. You're sending a message to the client that it's worthwhile for them to pay that money to spend the time with you. When somebody provides a free consultation, now they're contrasting, well, I could get a consult for free. They're going to intuitively know that your time is more valuable than the others because they're giving it for free and you're charging for it. So it's counterintuitive to the way that you think that the clients are thinking. The reality is that it's actually a benefit to you to charge for it because it puts you in a better light as a professional, as a legal professional who is going to be charging lots of money for your time anyway.
Yeah. So as far as kind of I'm happy to share like the recipe of how we actually do it. So basically, this is how you end up getting what we're really looking for here. And this is practice area to practice area, geography to geography. Getting this in place is going to get, we call this a contact rate. So the amount of leads divided by the amount of people you're actually getting on the phone. So what we're shooting for, our goals are between 60 and 80%. And this is what we're able to consistently hit with this process. So basically, we want to respond immediately, fast as possible. So it's going to be phone call if you can make it, SMS and email if they have it. It depends on what kind of form's coming in. So basically, and if we don't make that first contact, we want to do five touches on day one. We want to do three on day two, one on day four, and one on day five. So it's a lot. And most of these things aren't super, super crazy. Hey, law offices of blah, blah, blah. This is Ron. Saw your lead come in. Just wanted to say, here to help. Please give me a call back if you're convenient, that sort of thing. And you can automate it if you want, or you can do it yourself. One thing I do want to mention is that SMS has been way outperforming email. Even if people say that to reach out with an email, a lot of times we'll see this coming through on chat. But the thing is that basically, what I'm kind of seeing, the SMS, and this also will skew a little bit. I mean, there's a couple different factors. There's people who hate talking on the phone. There's people who you might have a family law issue and you're at home and you don't want to be, you have your partner or spouse in the other room while you're talking about divorcing them. And also, but just SMS, versus even if you have absolute gangbusters email open rate, you're talking 40, 50%. You can Google this stuff, the open rate on SMS, and probably intuitively know that's close to 100%. People just want to clear the notification on the phone. So always collect phone number if you have the choice of making fields to have on your lead. Yeah, so basically that's kind of the issue. That's kind of the format we've been using to follow up. So yeah, basically, it's been a huge renaissance in our business, but we've kind of been peripherally aware of this for a while. So and this is kind of funny. So like we always used to ask people whenever we had somebody who's potentially evaluating us to use our service, we always say, okay, cool. Well, if you had 10 leads coming into your business, 10 client opportunities, how many of those would you end up closing? And we actually have people who had the gall, like we close 100% of the leads that come in. And that's usually some combination of, I don't want to say delusional confidence, but maybe some spicy reimagining of the past.
Yeah, exactly.
But I
They're
mean,
basically making up stories around the ones that said no or didn't follow through or didn't show up for their, consult and all that. So they're discounting those and not counting them in that equation.
yeah, 100%. Because it's like I have absolutely seen, it's not out of control to see 80 to 90% of people that make it to your office end up closing. But when people actually look at the numbers, it's a lot smaller than they think. It's not, so you might have closed 8 out of the 10 that got into your office, but out of those 10, it might have taken 100 form fills to get in there. Especially if people are discounting stuff. If you have a bunch of residual stuff coming in from a really good SEO site or something, people just stop paying attention to those. But for the most part, it's those people that aren't making it off to the office. So and then another kind of little hack that we've kind of had. So it's like I said, it's not a huge point of leverage generally to like try to rescript your appointment. Chances are you wouldn't be in practice too long if that was blowing up every single time. So most firms are usually pretty good at that.
I want to jump in here real quick,
yeah.
Because you're a fast talker, and I want to make sure. No, it's fine. Nothing to apologize for, but I just want to make sure that I understand so that people who are attending the session understand. Basically, you're saying that there's three sections to the sales journey. There's the marketing piece, which is getting the lead to the door, getting somebody to either be messaging you, placing a phone call, somehow reaching out to your firm. Then there's a process from there to getting them into that consultation with your firm. And then there's the consultation, which is where the sale happens. And what you're saying is that the first part, the marketing part, it's already being done. We're just going to assume that you have your marketing strategy and you're generating leads somehow. And then the sales part, where people are coming to a consultation, you might be doing really well there as well, that people who are in the room, you're able to close 80 to 90%. The gap is in between, where you have the leads are coming and you're not getting them to the conference room. You're not getting them to that initial consultation. And that's the gap that you're filling, where if you're able to convert that number from the abysmal 30% to an 80 to 90%, you're bringing so many more people to the consultation table and therefore boosting sales that way. Does that sum up what we've covered so far that in my simple understanding?
Yeah, and I just wanted, there's one kind of small but important distinction. So in between the lead and the appointment book, there's technically two steps. So one is we talk about our total volume of leads. Then we have the first thing is the contact rate. So if you got 10 leads, you spoke to 8 of them on your phone, that's an 80% rate. That's a good number that we shoot for. And then of those 8, how many of those, if you had 80% contact rate and you got 6 of them to book an appointment with the attorney, that would be a 65%. We call that an appointment rate internally, but there's different names for that. To your point, those two steps, the gap between leads and people in your office is where most law firms are breaking apart, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's phenomenal. I love when my background is accounting. I'm a math guy. I love when we find the gaps in the equation, where if we can just increase the percentage at this step, it's going to accelerate the growth of the firm exponentially. And I can see that here. So now that we've broken it down so nicely and easily, I can see that there's leads that are not making it past that point. And if we can figure out how to get them to continue going on this path, then we're going to really pour fuel onto this fire and exponentially grow the sales. So I'm assuming you're gonna tell us exactly how to do that.
Okay, gotcha. Well, all right. So in short, basically, the follow-up stuff is really what's going to get the contact rate up. And then basically, there's scripts, and this is actually something we're going to be doing at the end of the thing. We have a giveaway with the best. I actually made a video training on how to get you or your front desk people to have a good script that works. And this is just best practice from the firms we've seen do the best at this. So basically, if you can, in theory, get a good 80% of the people on the phone, the only people that should not be booking appointment are people that are genuinely not qualified or aren't able to make it for some reason. So, and this is kind of the thing too, because when we were talking about this and doing a call back to earlier in the presentation, the people who said they had bad leads, when we really scratched below the surface, if I asked why it was a bad lead, they said most of the time they said they never called back. So that was a failure at the contact rate stage. And just especially if somebody's coming from, Google, whether that's SEO, whether that's pay-per-click, If you talk about the big scheme of places you could potentially get traffic, that's also really big. You know, it's extremely qualified. You know, nobody is going to be typing in divorce lawyer Boston, clicking on that link, calling the firm, setting up an appointment, if that's not somebody who's serious about doing that. That's not what normal people think about. So I kind of want to dispel this myth of the bad leads. But, you know, there is something that we definitely need to talk about, which is price shoppers. Because basically there's kind of some interesting realities that are happening. You know, I used to talk a lot about kind of the avotization that's really pushing a lot of the way that people shop for law firms into kind of a commodity place. If you're talking about something like Avvo, do a search in your hometown. It's usually between, in New York here, we probably have 500 attorneys per practice area. And even if it's, so people are kind of incentivized to kind of price shop. And some people, I mean, I'm not saying these are usually for those clients, but there's also the reality, and this is kind of a stat I got from another person I know, Rick Lewis, from ZPay Legal. There's actually pretty serious financial reasons that people don't end up actually signing up. So, and this is the median bank account was the stat that I learned was, the median bank account in 2019 is $2,800 for your average American. So, you've got a $3,000 retainer to get started with you, guess what? It's, if they're saying I don't have the money, it might not be just an objection. It might actually be the reality. So basically there's some other stuff that we found. We started working this with clients, and this is client financing. So, do you mind if I go into kind of how that works?
Is this something you're familiar with? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, basically like outside of it, if you think about it, like when people make major investments, our entire society runs on credit. Your retainer probably costs less than a car, but people are driving cars, costs less than a house. People have mortgages, but the reason all this stuff works is because of financing. And then there's actually been some innovation in the last couple of years. So there's companies that actually allow this to happen. So basically we're taking, investing into, your practice, assuming you don't have contingency based law, you can get your retainer financed. And the way that this ends up working is basically they have a basket of lenders. So this is, exclusive, like this was research really, really in depth. They hired some top tier firms to make sure that, and it was actually partnering up with nationwide providers to make sure that this clears every state bar. But basically there's no relationship directly between you and the client. They essentially will throw an application out to, well, not to throw, to provide to a basket of lenders. And for a lot of credit scores, I think it goes down to the low 500s, you can actually get financing. So instead of saying, okay, cool, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get your, the custody back of your child. We can turn this into a car payment, depending on what the options are, it could be a couple hundred bucks a month. So it's been really interesting to see how this has worked for clients because, for at one level, we're having people access a completely different tranche of people. So, I like to kind of compare it. It's like, if you had to, and it also kind of allows you to keep your prices where they want to be. If you went to, two used car lots, just to use a ridiculous example, if you had a guy that was selling a car for $5,000, but, he's offering financing for 200 bucks a month, and then there's a guy who's just, dropping his pants and making absolutely no money on the deal and selling for $3,500, if you've got $2,500 in your bank account and your car just broke down, you need to make it to work the next day, you're not even going to consider whether the financing is worth more. Not that it usually is. And that's the situation. You can actually beat out people who have lower retainers. You can beat out the people who are running volume practices and not doing good work for their clients, charge what you're worth, and get financed in full with these programs. So it's pretty cool.
I'm guessing that a bankruptcy attorney might have a hard time getting financing for their clients.
Yeah, this all works super well for bankruptcy. I like to think of this too. So family law, trust, and state law are knockouts for this. Bankruptcy and, depending on, this is the thing, and if you're a criminal attorney, this, there's certain crimes that are typically committed by people who are more affluent, a lot of, DWI type stuff, drug crimes often. Those are the people, if you've got a, again, if you're about to file for bankruptcy, your credit's probably not in the position to do this, but, most people, if you're at 500-ish or above, you're probably able to make it work.
Yeah, I also can't imagine that you could find a lender who'd be willing to loan money to somebody who's hiring an attorney to file bankruptcy. So,
yeah.
All right, so I totally understand this. It makes a lot of sense. Obviously, it would be nice if we can share some resources as to where law firms can go to find or align themselves with somebody who can help them with this financing. I don't have those. I don't know if you do either, but maybe behind the scenes we can make that work for them, and put together a resource for our law firm owners to consider having this as an option for their potential clients. So it's just another feather in the cap to make the sale.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, so we've got that in the resources section at the end of that, so we'll get that available for people.
Awesome. Very good.
Yeah.
So what other cool ninja strategies, tips, tricks do you have to increase the close rate on the sales side of this?
Okay, so I've got something. This is super, super hot off the press. We're actually wrapping up some of our case studies right now, but it's based on follow-up, but it's not necessarily an intake-based follow-up. But it's pretty cool. Can I talk about that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So basically, this is something that it's not for all kinds of law firms. So basically, the real opportunity here is for trust and estate. Other things too, which you want to consider, people who it's types of law that have an ongoing need. So if you get hit by a car, chances are you're going to hire an attorney, you're not within the first couple weeks. If you have a child custody issue for an ongoing divorce, that might be something that you're going to come back and revisit in 6 months or a year. Trust and estate stuff is perfect for this. Elder care, Medicare planning, perfect for this. If you happen to run criminal stuff, expungement's probably a good fit. But basically, the whole idea, it's called a database reactivation, and this is actually something that we're taking from another branch of marketing. So basically, this is something that's been super popular in the fitness marketing world. So the whole idea is that there's people that are going to say no, and again, the better you have with your sales process, the smaller that number is going to be. But at some point, it's just not the right time. So provided that you have some way to hold these people, whether that's a mailing list, whether that's some sort of a thing, if you have in your practice management software, you can export this. There's ways that you can use follow-up to reactivate old leads in your database, hence the term database reactivation. So the cool thing is that regardless of any we've tried this out with a handful of firms. And actually matches up pretty well with the numbers that we're seeing from other verticals, which is between 2 and 8% of people. If you were to call 100, you're going to get 2 to 8% of people to book an appointment with you. And that percentage, I'm not a, I can't read minds or anything, but that's the people who it's the right time for whatever reason at this point. And then if you want to combine it with an end of year offer, I don't advise people to drop their prices, but we've had some pretty creative things together. Hey, we're doing one last seminar before the end of the year. There's going to be limited space, so I just wanted to make sure you got this because you went to one of our previous seminars. Or hey, we've got some changes coming up in the tax code end of the year. I'm keeping my calendar open for the next 2 weeks, so just like book an appointment. So just little accelerators like that. So
Yeah, one
even
thing
if
that I like to do, one thing I like to see people do is when you're trying to push people to a decision, is to offer them something that's outside of the scope of what you're selling that would be valuable to them. So if you can come up with something to bundle with your service, you say, look, if for anybody who retains us before this and this date, we're offering X, Y, and Z that you're going to get for free from our firm. And it could be something that's scalable, that's easy for you to implement, but is something that's of value to to the person that's buying it. In the online marketing world, we call it a bonus, but in the law firm industry, it's just something that you can provide that's of value to them. So if you can think about something like that would help them make that decision. People hate to pass up on a good deal. They hate to pass up on something that they're going to lose. So if they're on the fence, it just helps them, it gives them a deadline, it helps them get off the fence.
yeah. And then, the better the offer is, the more likely it's going to be towards the high end of that response rate, like close to 8%. But if we just run the numbers, let's assume, even if you wanted to say, hey, just wanted, this is Jan, I wanted to call back. I know we had a consultation a little while back, but I just wanted to see what your plans were as far as your estate. And I've got my calendar open for a little bit, so just give me a call back if you'd like to settle something up. If you've got a list of 100 people and you call that, or if you have a list of 200 people and you call it, you're going to get 200 people, 4 to 16 retainers for that, like clockwork. And this is just people who are ready now that weren't ready when you first spoke to them. And, you know, going back to what we were saying about people ended up getting into the office, you know, if you're closing 8 of those 10 people, or, and I'm going to have to do some math here, but at the end of the day, you know, you're probably going to be able to get a couple of retainers out of this. So, you know, there's definitely ways to do this. If you can find the time, you know, there's email software, you can do this. Like I said, I really like SMS and voicemail. It can be a pain in the butt to get 200 people to, or, you know, to delete a voicemail, but there's ways we can do that with software as well that can make this kind of a one touch thing.
Awesome. I'm loving this, the idea, and I'm loving the concept. I would love to know more about how to automate this with software. So maybe you can spend a few minutes talking to us about that.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, basically, you know, we're talking about a couple different things. Like, we've got scripts, we've got 15 touch points. You know, a lot of this stuff can be super automated, but, you know, basically we're talking about three different ways that we can get in touch with someone. And these are three different kinds of, you know, services. You can, there's a lot of ways you can do this. So basically we need a way to follow up with people with email, on the phone, and through SMS. And there's a million different ways you can do this. So, you know, the partner we mentioned from earlier has a platform called Connect. Sam Alive, you guys remember from a couple, I mean, actually he was on your podcast. I think he's forthcoming episode of my podcast as well. He's got one. We actually ended up providing one as well. And basically, you know, it's just something that combines these things in an automated way. So, you know, instead of saying, hey, or, you know, waking up and saying, okay, well, how many leads came through? Who am I following up with today? These things can really telescope in terms of how much work it is and how many leads you have coming in. You know, we haven't to date found anyone who's more reliable than a computer. So basically we can send out SMS. I also like, this is something called a voicemail drop. So basically we can record an email, and as long as you're not using somebody's name, you know, it's really tough to tell the difference. So, hey, you know, that's kind of the stuff I was saying before. Hey, this is Jan, wanted to follow up on your estate. You know, most people think that's a personal voicemail, and as long as it's not really having specific stuff. And then, you know, that's why we're getting these big engagement rates, because someone's like, oh, well, you know, this is somebody who thought of me, and you did, just not to the capacity that they thought, but it's very effective in getting people to call back.
Yeah. And I think there's video tools too. I think there's something called BombBomb. I'm not using it myself, but I know people who have used that. I just don't know if you need to record separately for each introduction, but it's the same idea, except that you're doing it face to camera. It's even more personable. And then they get this email where you're talking to them from the camera, and you're just checking in. And, you know, so that's something else that you can check out and see if that works.
Yeah. And it differs platform to platform too. I know, like, you know, for some of the ones we've used for the voicemail drops, it's literally an audio file. I'm sure, yeah, and there's platforms like that you can have video files, I'm sure. I mean, the thing is that I kind of, and this is kind of in sort of the gray area of what I'll recommend. It's like, you don't want to explicitly say that it's not for them, but you want to have a plausible deniability that this could have been something that was made specifically for them. So, you know, if you're like the difference, if you record something and then, you know, you change your hairstyle, or you, you know, get a big scar or something, or, you know, your profile picture on LinkedIn looks like you versus I do right now, then you might, the subterfuge might be up. But yeah, just as long as you can get people to think that you're caring about them, that's really important thing.
All right. Awesome. This is all fascinating stuff, Jan. And I hope that, I hope that everybody else is finding it too. You know, some of it can feel like a little overwhelming, and that's why I keep wanting to bring it back to the basics and stuff that we can all understand. So, basically, to summarize what we've covered, we've identified that the problem in that you're trying to solve of increasing the revenue of the firm and bringing on more cases per month might be able to be solved without increasing any of your marketing expenses, because you might already be getting the leads and just not be doing what you need to with them. And then we spoke specifically about taking people from that initial contact to you, making sure that you get in touch with them, that you have those initial touch points, phone conversation, following up with SMS, following up with emails, and have a system in place to do that automatically so that everybody's getting the same experience, the same touch points, ultimately driving them to that initial phone conversation. From that initial phone conversation, where then our goal is to drive them to the consultation, assuming that they fit the criteria. So we obviously don't want to waste anybody's time with a consult that is an unqualified lead. But once you've qualified the lead, we then want to push them to that consultation. And then on the consultation, we want to go ahead and close them into a client. And if we get all of those pieces down, then that is going to significantly improve the results of the firm. And then we talked about some of the things you could do to increase the close rate. One of them being helping with financing, which I'd like to now revisit in a moment. And we've also talked about going back to the previous no's that you've received or leads that just didn't continue the process and re-engage them. And so I have a question for the re-engagement of the leads. Is there a period of time that's like a best practices to wait to do this? In other words, I would assume that it would make sense for a firm to put a process in place every X number of months or years to go back and try to re-engage everybody.
So
my guess is you're going to say like 3 months or 6 months. I just want to check with you and see where your thoughts are on that.
So, yeah, there's a couple of different things. So first thing I want to say is that this is all stuff that's super in the lab right now. Like we're coming up, we're doing our first deployments with this, like literally this quarter, like leading up into Christmas. So we don't have a ton of data points on this, to be totally candid. You know, within the cohort that we have people going from, you know, leads that have been cold for, you know, a year ranging to, we have people that are doing 10 years. The reality is it's like, you know, you're probably going to have, especially this guy who's doing the longest thing actually does elder law. So it's possible some of those people are no longer above the ground. But basically I would want to make sure that you don't err on the side of too soon rather than too late. So I would say this is probably something, and you know, this is going to differ practice to practice. I kind of like doing this as, and this is actually something that we've been doing, not necessarily with the level of automation or the thoroughness, but you know, within my own business, because we have people that come to us as well. We actually used to do this once a quarter, but you know, that there's also, I think, you know, doing a really big outreach at least once every year would be good. And it kind of depends. If you guys have a slow season, if you can think of a month that always sucks for you, or, you know, you have some big bills that come up or something like that, you know, heck, you know, if it's a default, let's call it the holidays, have a little extra for the Christmas dockings or under whatever your denomination of choice, you know, just do it around the holidays. And then basically, you know, the cool thing is that this is super predictable. It's just cold, hard numbers. If you've got a list that's X size, you know, you're going to get appointments. So if you want to put the pause on something that's not generally working for you, if the advertising takes a dip, why not buffer it up with that time? So I'd say at least, you know, a year. But like, you know, the other thing too, the first time you do it, we've got a couple situations where just from the perspective of people's calendars, you know, we've got a guy who has a list of 6,000. We're not going to be sending out 6,000 at once. The guy would be booked out for 4 months. So we're going to be dripping out 500 of these per month for probably, you know, the next year, which is cool. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it.
Yeah, and this is fascinating. So let's just move back to that other piece that I said that we were going to come back to, which is the financing. You said that you have some stuff that you've put together. Anything that you mention here will link to in your speaker bio. So folks, you just go to the speaker page where all of our speakers are outlined with their bios, and whoever has shared a next step or resource with us, we're going to link that there. So you can always go and get the link there if you're not in a position to write it down or follow it right now. And I don't know if Jan is ready to give us the link now, so we might just put it on the back end. But you put something together, so just tell us what that is, what we can expect. And how to use it.
Okay, awesome. So basically, yeah, we've got this at the link, casefield.com/LFGS. And then also I want to make it available, you know, just kind of show you that we eat our own dog food here. You can also text the number 774-214-2804, and we'll send you the link as well. But what you're going to get with that, basically this is something that we ended up coming up with a while ago, but you know, we keep this updated. So this is our internal best practices video series for clients that we take on. Like I kind of mentioned a couple times before, we've been aware of this for a while. The follow-up component's obviously one thing, but one of the things I think is the easiest to get settled and it's going to have a really profound impact is just getting your intake scripts and your process together. And it's also just a lot of stuff, you know, we've kind of dipped into different concepts of this, but, you know, this is more academic approach to how should you think about numbers? You know, what are your pipelines? How can you set up this kind of stuff? How do you get tracking set up for all these things? All the resources in there are free. And it's, you know, I think we at last count about 18 video series. And we're also trying to get a community going as well. So depending on the volume here, you know, we'll absolutely get this up. But we wanted to get a community as well. So if you end up signing up for this, there's a Facebook group called Double Your Case Files. And then we'll kind of see if we end up getting a good, good group of people. We'll end up having some spirited discussion about this. And, you know, there's also the peer component to thinking about things in this way. And then also, yeah, resources to different tools that we have that are available. You know, connections to the case financing as well. The one thing is that it's definitely, we actually have basically, there's some people who've been doing this. You may have been outreached. I'm sure there's somebody who's watching this right now. There's companies that basically take the financing thing and upsell it to some crazy amount. We actually have a direct relationship with these guys. So we just connect with the CEO. It's a guy named Rick, ePay Legal. But we'll make the introduction to anyone who wants it. So that's also all in there. So basically between those things, that's the thing. Even within this presentation, 69% of the people you're talking to aren't getting connected to. So that's a 3X right there. I'm absolutely confident that if you really want to keep your numbers and pay attention to this, you're going to be able to double the amount without spending any additional spend on marketing. That's the promise, and that's what we're trying to do with the resource here in this presentation as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jan, for your expertise here and sharing all this with us. This has been a very, very meaty episode. The Law Firm Growth Summit 2024 is rapidly approaching May 21st to May 23rd, and attendance is absolutely free. There's no reason not to register for this event. It is done virtually. You can attend it from your office, from your home, or you can just go to the library, somewhere quiet, somewhere where you can have the space that you need. We would love to see you there. We have over 2,000 law firm owners who have attended each of our events in the past. We anticipate having a similar attendance this year, maybe even more. We're actually trying to break that 3,000 mark. We're doing something unique with this event and creating some unique spaces for you to collaborate and connect with other attorneys in your geographic area and in your practice area. So if nothing else, you might want to come just for the community, just to meet other attorneys and broaden your Rolodex, so to speak, and create opportunities for referral business to flow from you to others and from others back to you in a beautiful reciprocal fashion. We bring together industry leaders and experts. We're going to have over 50 speakers and over 50 different sessions at the Law Firm Growth Summit that you can listen in on and attend. And of course, if you can't make it to all, but you want access to all, after your free registration, you'll be given the option to upgrade to a VIP Plus ticket. VIP Plus ticket does cost some money. It includes recordings of all the events, but also includes really cool swag bag that this year is going to have some really cool stuff. There's going to be a couple of books from some of our sponsors that are being thrown in there, and t-shirt, mug, pens, you name it. There's some really exciting stuff that we send out in these boxes. So if you want a package in the mail, definitely you want to upgrade to that VIP Plus ticket. But regardless, you want to reserve your seat now. You want to make sure you get onto this list because we're going to be announcing keynote speakers. We're going to be announcing other prizes and fun stuff. And you want to make sure that you're fully, fully engaged with this event. You're going to start seeing social media taken over the course of the next 4 weeks as all of our speakers and sponsors and anybody else who wants to help us with talking about this event gets behind it and starts talking about it. So where do you go to register your free seat at the Law Firm Growth Summit?
It's easy. Lawfirmgrowthsummit.com, lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Also, that'll be linked up in the show notes below. Lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. We'll see you there.
Have you been enjoying the show? We sure hope so. To make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast player app. Next week, we will be back with more valuable resources and ideas on how to break the mold and take your law firm to the next level.